I thought it was so nice that Carrie asked everybody to say to each other when we started, tell me whether it contend for the faith. And I thought, well done. Well done. That just happens to be the topic I want to talk about today. She might have known that, by the way. So, well done. There are times when I preach and teach that I feel like I just need to speak on a particular topic, and I know when I do it, it's not always gonna, well, it's just gonna hit different people in different ways, and that's okay. But there are times when I think we just have to be reminded of kind of where we are and what we need to do, even if it's a tough topic and sometimes maybe a little uncomfortable to talk about, but it needs to be talked about. If you're going to talk about the truth, you know, it intersects all areas of life. So you got to be able to just let it hit where it needs to hit in life. And so now that I know I have your interest piqued, wondering what in the world is he going to talk about today? Goodness gracious, did I sign up for this? I don't know. Popular culture is, it's an interesting bird. One of the interesting things about it is it doesn't care about necessarily about morals and ethics. It simply is a result of whatever has become embraced by the majority of people and sort of establishes kind of a norm for beliefs or behaviors. Fashion, you know, you see how, right? All sorts of things. But popular culture has, you know, I guess as old as time itself. And like I said, it doesn't really discriminate and say, well, this is not something that is right. So therefore, the general public on majority shouldn't really embrace this or should reject it. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't care. It's not about that. And I find that puts the church in an interesting predicament because the church is supposed to be a body of people who look at the culture that is around them and what is popular even, and make a judgment call on whether or not something is right or something is wrong, and is called to draw a line and to say, as for me and my household, can anybody know how to finish this one? We will serve the Lord. All right, Joshua, I believe 24:15, right? So as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Today in popular culture, we see a tendency in the mainstream to really help everyone to feel included and to feel embraced. And whatever it is that you need to feel okay, then we want to support that and we want to back that. We want to elevate that and give it value in society and culture around us. How many of you ever see Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok videos, other videos or little clips of segments? And when you see that, you go, well, that might be a little funny, but I'm not sure I really agree with what just happened here. Dina, can you turn this back a little bit so I don't have as much feedback, please? You know, you see that and you go, well, I know, and I'm okay maybe seeing that, but I sure wouldn't want my kids to see that. I wouldn't want my kids or my grandkids to hear that. Over and over and over, the reels and the videos and the sound bites, right? Which then moves on to, we should change policy then so that we can help everyone feel that they are embraced for who they are. The current generation of kids and teens is being influenced as much by social media as, or I would say, in the history of humanity. We know it's a rather recent invention, and it's shaping culture very quickly. And we're seeing that impacting our government, federal and state. We're seeing it impacting school systems and policies that are being put into place in order to align themselves, right? So that, again, everyone feels embraced for who they are. They get to live that out, and kind of just what it is, okay? In the book of Jude, there was a time when Jude, who's one brother of Jesus, if you have a Bible, by the way, if you wouldn't mind getting that out, or on your phone, if you want to open up, if you got a Bible app, open that up and take a look at that. I want to go to the book of Jude. It's the book right before the book of Revelation. It's very short, right? As I said before, if you know, hey, sometimes you just want like a victory. You know, I read a whole book in the Bible today. Yes, go read Jude. Anyways, and so I want to reference a few spots in Jude this morning. It'd be easy if you're just there. I won't have those on the screen today. But in Jude's letter, which he doesn't really write to anybody in particular, he's just writing this to Christians in the ancient Near East, and it probably was a circulating letter that went out. We don't know for sure, but more than likely. And Jude starts his letter, and I want you to look at this. If you're there, verse 3 here in this letter. So Jude starts out this letter and he says, "Dear friends," he said, "although I was very eager to write you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." And if you read on from there, you'll see that he starts to share some reasonings as to why he felt it was so necessary to talk about being a follower of Jesus Christ and being a Christian. And it had to do with people that were coming into the church, and they were teaching these ideals that were not in alignment with what Jesus had been teaching. They weren't in alignment then with what the apostles were teaching, because they're just bringing out Jesus' teachings and sharing those in wherever they go. And he says, no, there are folks that are coming in, and they're saying it doesn't really matter what you do or how you live. Immorality. You guys are familiar with immorality? Morality, right? So it doesn't necessarily matter too much about immorality, because, well, the grace of God's going to save you, so you can necessarily do what you want. You can live how you want to live, because at the end of the day, God's grace can save you, and it will. And so he was referencing this specifically towards sexual immorality. I know it's the S word that we... And he says, we've got people that are teaching and preaching what we don't believe is right according to what the living word has told us about God and his design for humanity and his covenant with his people and how he wants his people to live in the world. And they're coming in, they're teaching a different message. And it's interesting to me that that message was one that, you never heard that phrase, you can have your cake and eat it too? You know what that means, right? So you can be a believer, yes, but you can also pleasure the flesh. Well, then you go, well, that ain't too bad. Kind of like it. So I can feel good, and I'm still good. He says, hold on here. This is not what Jesus was teaching. This was not the life that God desires and that God has created us to live with him and in the world. It's not a life that promotes goodness and well-being. the way God sees it. So he's like, hey, I need to talk about that for a moment. Because if enough people come in speaking the wrong things again and again and again, the wrong video clip again and again and again, wrong language, wrong immoral behaviors, teachings that sound close to the Bible, but they're not. Picking one verse out of context and making it fit an ideal to argue a point and say, I'm right and the rest of everybody else is wrong. Again and again, and the repetition and the habit. Do you think that begins to shape the way you think? Begins to shape the way you look at the world around you, what you even think of yourself, what you think of the people around you. In fact, Scripture says, Paul is talking and he says, you know what, there's going to come a time when there's going to be people that are going to be speaking words that you're going to like, and they're going to sound appealing. It's going to be crafty. And it's going to look so close to the truth, but yet it won't be. Or you'll feel like, yes, finally I can have it my way. I've been suffering so long because I've been dying to self and saying yes to Jesus. I've been counting the cost to follow Christ and to walk in the way of godliness. But whew, I don't really have to do that. Because I believe. And what more do you need than belief? I know that we are a sinful people. But being a sinful people does not give us permission to live in sin. And I know we know that. And I know that's a hard thing to stand out and to say in the midst of pop culture today, that the church should say no to sin and call sin a sin and to make a stance and to say, this is the way, as for me and my household, this is the path we will take. And it is not the path of pop culture today in this regard, because we don't agree with this part of it. For the values for which this part of popular culture is espousing does not agree with the values of righteousness. Therefore, we have to take a different path. Sometimes that path is not a fun one to take, but it's still the right choice to make. And it has a cost. Jesus knew that it would have a cost, thus you count the cost. Knew that it would be hard, that sometimes you would feel like you're being persecuted because you take a different line. And he says, yeah, I know. But when you're persecuted for what is right and godly, know that it's not for the blessings of man that you're living in the first place, but for the blessings of God. You're not living for the world, you're living for God. So don't find your pleasures in being like the rest of the world. Because in the end, it won't give you what the world's telling you it's going to give you. It's going to give emptiness. It's going to give short term. But God's in it for the long term. So what do we do about that? Well, Jude had an idea. And I kind of liked it. I thought I would share that today. So there in the letter of Jude, if you would, go to verse 17 with me. And let's start there. Because what Jude has done is he has laid out kind of the issue at hand. And I've tried to somewhat generically and hopefully clear enough to kind of help us see that, yeah, like he was dealing with an issue, and yeah, we have an issue today, and he knew that it wasn't right, didn't align with God and the teachings of Christ. And hey, we look at our world today and we know that not all of it's aligning with God and the teachings of Christ, right? I mean, there's some parallels here, which is why I was picking this. And verse 17, he says, but, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So what's the response? One of the things I notice here is this call to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. This is a reference to building yourselves up on the Scriptures, which are the underpinning and the foundation of what we believe, to what we know about God, who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do, and the why of all of it. So to build yourselves up in your most holy faith requires prioritizing Scripture in your faith. I've had people say, well, I believe. They don't really, they know the gospel, which is good. They need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, absolutely. But what do you believe as a Christian? And then you get all over the board. At a very minimum, we need to know the story of the cross and the empty tomb. But building yourselves up on a holy faith requires getting in to grow in the knowledge of the Scriptures, to grow in understanding of the Scriptures, in the wisdom of the Scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible explicitly tells us that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom are of the Lord. God reveals Himself in the Scriptures. That is primarily where we will grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Yes, we can know Him through creation around us, and we see His handiwork and the natural grace that sort of points us to God. And Paul talks about that as well in his writings. But to build on a foundation, who's the foundation? Who's that cornerstone we talked about last Sunday? Jesus Christ. Building on that foundation needs some time to keep learning the story. Get in the story. Spend time with the story. Observe the God of the story. What has He done? What has He said? Why has He done these things? Why would He say that? To contemplate, to meditate, to reflect upon the things that we read in the Scriptures. What God speaks through the Scriptures may then also guide us as we pray in the Spirit. That we don't just pray for whatever whim we want and God, give me, give me, give me. I mean, you guys would never pray like that, I'm sure. Like, you know, I mean, you guys are well grounded. That the Scriptures would guide the words of our prayers. That our understanding, good theology is so good for a rich prayer life. And I know that for some you go, yes, and others go, what in the world does that mean? Good understanding of God develops a rich prayer life. Learning the Scriptures And I know someone said, well, I don't learn very well, and I didn't like school, and I have struggled with this and that, and education, da-da-da, and I understand all that. But you got to remember, this is what God has given us. And it may feel like a fight, but we fight the good fight. And we say, I'm going to try. I may not get it all right, but I'm going to try. And I'm going to ask, Lord, take what you need me to learn. Help me to hold on to it and retain it. To pray words of Scripture that your Spirit will bring to my memory, and they'll come out in my words as I pray, so that I'm praying words of life, words of truth. And I'm not praying from a bent perspective on what I want to happen in the world, but that I would surrender my desires to what is it you want, and how do I know what you want? Through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are God-breathed to give wisdom, that our decisions reflect the heart of God, that we would be taught and that we would be rebuked when we're sideways, that we would be corrected when we need to be corrected. A prideful spirit is a killer to a fruitful prayer life. Humility is imperative in prayer. God, teach me, speak through me. And when I don't know what to say, as your word says that your Spirit will utter forth from me to the Father in heaven what you once said through me to him, that you would receive those words, that you would speak life through me. You say, well, I never had that kind of prayer life. I never thought about prayer that way. That seems so deep. I don't know if I could really even do all of that. Just start with, God, help me. Teach me. I don't have all the answers, but I trust that you do. And you say, if anybody lacks wisdom and would ask you, that you'll give them wisdom. So, Lord, you help me, but don't be too hard on yourself. Meditate on that. Psalm chapter 1 says that the blessed man is one who doesn't walk in the sinful journey. In fact, he meditates on the law of the Lord. Meditates on the Scriptures. Now, when you think meditate, how many of you, your first thought is to think like Far East? Empty of mind. That's not the biblical meditation that is referred to in the book of Psalms. The meditation there is different. It's actually the filling of the mind with the Word of God. And it's speaking that over sort of in your head as you sit there and just rest in God and reflect on what is this saying? Saying it over and over and over, that he meditates on the Scriptures. And in meditating upon it, would also do a couple other things. One, put it into practice. James 1:22 says that don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a what? Be a doer of the word. Jesus said that a person who loves the Lord is obedient to the word of the Lord. In John 14:21. Now, please don't hear this and think, pastor is saying you have to, he's getting almost kind of legalistic. You have to do all these things in order to really be in a good spot with God. And I'm going, no, I'm not. But what I have learned is that when you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, it's not an issue of check marks for obedience. It's an issue of I'm drawn to him. Because the Spirit of the living God is within me, and the Spirit of God is drawing me to God. And I want to get into his word in some way. I want to be near to the Father. I want to talk to him. I want to hear from him. I love him. I have an affection for him that I didn't have previously. Well, that's the Spirit of God in you. That love drawing you into that deep love of God. And it comes from the Spirit of God who was given to us at salvation. God wants us to be close to him. to be obedient to the Lord, to walk in His ways. For in His ways are blessings. In His ways there is peace. In His ways we find that our hope is renewed, because we're walking with the living God. Do you realize that when we talk about fight the good fight of faith, and of course, you know, I'm talking from Jude, and you notice the references, 1 Timothy 6:12. That's what Paul says. He talks about fight the good fight of faith. When you're in the midst of a culture who doesn't see the way, the world doesn't see, when you're living in a world who doesn't see life the way that you see it, don't bend to the world. And don't expect the world to bend to you either. Because the unspiritual don't understand spiritual things. They're not going to bend to righteousness just because you tell them they should stop and get right and quit it. It doesn't work. It hasn't. Transformation is through God. It's the role of the church to fight the good fight of faith and say, this is what a life lived by faith looks like in a world that is distant from God. This was the design of God for all of His covenant time with the Hebrew people and into the church. It has never changed. The concept is that the world will learn about God through His covenant people. And do you realize that you are in a covenant with God? You realize there are? Do you know how? Through your salvation. For this is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, He says, right? You are in a covenant with God through your salvation, that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That covenant comes with a responsibility on our part, that we would honor the God of our covenant, and that we would live a life under His lordship over our lives. And that looks different very often than pop culture that surrounds us. I'm not slamming pop culture. There's some fun things in pop culture. Make me laugh. Have a good time. I could probably dress better, but, you know, that's another topic. I didn't even get any looks at it. I thought my family would be like, well, we're trying. No. I'm not slamming our culture. Simply pointing us to the scriptures, and how might that encourage us to respond in light of the culture in which we find ourselves in. That's Jude's goal in this letter, is to inform the people in the midst of their surroundings. And how do they then not ignore their faith, but stand up for their faith in love, with truth, and unwavering faithfulness, choosing not to bend. One of the things that he goes on to tell them is also that they need to take their relationships with each other seriously. By that, what I mean is that you're going to have people in the midst of you who are going to go through seasons where they doubt whether Christ is really who He says He is, whether His word is truth. Is it really a true promise? I mean, can God do the things that He says He can do? Are you kidding me? Have you seen what we're up against? You know, like la-da-da-da-da. Like, there's going to be times where there'll be people around you and they're going to wrestle with this. And what he says is, when you come across folks in the church who are wrestling and you notice they're kind of doubting a little bit, right? He says, don't get up in their face and be aggressive with them and tell them, pull it together, man, or you're going to end up in hell. It's not what he says. He says, show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy is compassion. Patience, long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, for being long-suffering. To show mercy. And then if you happen to see those who are taking even a step farther and straying from the faith, respond quickly. You ever notice how easy it can be to build a habit and how quickly you can destroy a habit? Yeah. Respond quickly to those that may be straying from the faith in an effort to save them. And be alert to sin's allurement. Sin typically feels good, tends to look good, tends to sound good, tends to have promises that you think are going to deliver, and yet it's none of those. It's an allurement. Oh, Eve. Girl, you should eat the fruit of that tree, because don't you know that when you do that, you're going to be like God. Well, I mean, that sounds kind of nice. Did it really happen? Nope. It was a lie. It was a deceptive proposition. Oh, I want to look at that picture. Yeah. Don't do it. Oh, I want to watch this. Well, I probably shouldn't. If I stop and think about it. Oh, I want to go here. I think twice about that. For the second time today, talk to me like I was an idiot. Well, it's enough of that. Show them I'm not an idiot. Well, I feel better. Did you make it better? Well, no, probably not, but I made it better to me. Sure you did. No, you didn't. But it felt good, didn't it? Yeah, not in your spirit, just in the flesh. That's all. Those are not the same. Not the same. So detest sin, Jude says. Detest it. Do you realize that the church is not a mind your own business culture? It's not. That is a culture of modern times where everybody has their own right to do what they want, have their own thoughts, say what they want, yada, 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 yada. And I don't have to be held accountable to anyone because I am my own person. That is a westernized ideal that has shaped our culture in the West. The church is not that culture. It's not supposed to be. The church is a we are accountable to each other for our lives. We are brothers and sisters. A healthy family is accountable to each other. It has mercy with one another. It helps one another. It speaks the truth in love to one another. It resolves conflict with one another. It doesn't shut down and run away and go to another church because you get mad at somebody. That happens a lot. Church family says, I'll help you, but I need you to help me too. And when you don't have it all together, I'm not going to condemn you. And when I don't have it all together, I don't want you to condemn me. Because we're both going to remember that when Jesus Christ came and he went to the cross, John 3:17 says he did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So I'm going to work to help to save you in your moment. But when I need it, I'm counting on you to help save me in my moment. Well, I don't know if I should say. I don't know. I get that. Fear is a powerful, powerful influencer. But freedom doesn't come from fear that runs away. Freedom comes from the truth. The truth will set you free. And that's typically an uncomfortable experience on both parts, both parties, right? This is who we are as the church. We help one another live out our faith together. When we do this, we are not the first and we're not going to be the last that will go through this, okay? But our battles matter. The battles we go through together as a church, the things we do with each other, all the things I've been talking about today, these hard things, you know? But these battles matter. The generation of kids and teens that are coming up today need those who are older and established in the faith and who are even learning and growing in the faith to set an example for them of what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus. Trying to live out the principles of holiness that are found in the Word of God. Because I promise you that kids and teenagers spend more time on social media and videos and the digital world, right, than they do with you, listening to you, or reading their Bible, or thinking about their Sunday school curriculum. That's not a slam. That's pop culture, folks. That is the reality of our life. We have to, as the people of God, stand forward as parents and grandparents and adults and leaders and say, okay, hold on for a second, time out. What do we do? Because if we keep going the path we're going, we're already seeing the direction it's starting to head. Less and less people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Pop culture is becoming more and more rebellious against the principles of Scripture and the morals that are grounded in the Word of God. We see it. It's already headed there. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying it's where we are. We as adults have to be able to step forward and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. We have to be the ones to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We have to be the ones that say, where do you need me, Lord? I'm going to go on the front lines to fight this battle with you because I know you're the one fighting this battle. And I'm partnering up with you. So what do you need? How can we help these young ones that are coming up know you? Know who you are and what your character is and what you value and what you want for their lives. How can we encourage them using this to challenge what they hear and ask, is this right? Compared to what this teaches, what this says. You say this about God. But when I read and I learn that that's not exactly the God of Scripture. Your version sounds nice, but it's not the full picture. See, kids don't know that unless they're learning it. We've got to teach. And I know I'm not a teacher. It's not about you. It's about you making disciples. I couldn't teach other adults. I couldn't run a small group. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about you helping others follow Jesus. I know. Just remember, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about what we will do together. Will we be in it to win it? That when we look back years down the road, and the young ones that are coming up will look back years down the road, they will point to you or to you or to you or to you and say, I remember that when I was there, when I was at New Hope and I was in Hope Kids or I was in Fusion or I was whatever, when I was at church and I saw them and I remember seeing them and they were so good and encouraging to me And they just kept it so simple, and they were teaching me about God and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and they were telling me stories, and it was just so much fun, and I just knew that they cared about me. And I learned the kind of love that God has from those people at my church. And it sticks with them. How many of you can remember people from your past that were that way for you? And you can look back on your past story and go, I remember. I know what you're talking about. And I bet there are some who, guess what? You're the one that they talk about when they talk about their story. Because you've been doing it. The future of our church is new generations coming up behind us. And that's going to take discipleship. It's going to take fighting the good fight of faith in the midst of a pop culture that would just assume shut down the message of the gospel as anything. Contend for the faith. Keep it going. Teach your kids how to fight with a sword. Now, maybe don't take that literally, okay? But as Paul says, you can't teach them to fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is a scripture. Teach them how to use God's word for their good, as you use it for your good. Okay? Amen. Folks, we're not done. There's much more to come. And there are new families that we have not even met yet. And I believe as we show faithful with what we have that God has blessed us with currently, God is going to entrust us with even more. It's a promise of Scripture. Let's continue to show faithful with what we have, inviting others to come along and see what God does, man. God is so good. And he wants people to know his goodness. Primarily through people who will teach and show his goodness to his family and in the world. Keep doing that, guys. Keep it up. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to just to be encouraged in the midst of where we know our world is and pop culture. And it is what it is, good nor bad. It just is, it's reality. And so where we find ourselves, I'm asking with my church family that you would continue to shape our hearts and our minds with truth from the scriptures, that you would help us remember that our lives are not our own, but they belong to the Lord. And that they are given to make disciples, help others to trust and follow Jesus with their lives, and to live as people who are in a covenant with you, because we are. And we need your help, because that's not always easy. So please, help us in every way that we need, for you are a God who has everything that we need at any moment. And I know that you'll supply it. Help us to lean into you. And to trust you, to fight the good fight of faith, contending for what we know is good and right, for your glory and the good of your church. Amen.